We were fortunate enough at Greenacre Living to have won the SAG Seed Award last year for our work in eco-inclusive enterprises and developing food systems that are going to work for people on the ground, small-scale farmers that respect the environment and work with indigenous knowledge systems.
So what kind of impact, if any, has it had on your business and on your work having won this award last year?
It's been fantastic because I think that the recognition is very important to many farmers that I work with, and we have a few thousand farmers now, for them to see that their effort is being recognized through these kinds of vehicles is tremendously empowering.
And do you feel that the UN sort of system at large and these SDGs, these Sustainable Development Goals, are also an important way to sort of get behind small businesses like yours?
Certainly, and particularly on the SDGs, we recognize that the work we're doing ticks many, many of the boxes in multiple of the SDGs. And food, SDG 2 is obviously a big one, but there are many others that impact on the environment and chemical use and those kinds of things.
So Arab Habala, just talk about what the seed program represents overall, and what's the benefit to having seed in the first place?
We have listened here to one case. This is what I call the hidden champions, or rewarding the best. But what's important for us, and that's exactly the purpose of seed, is once we reward the best, we need to move the rest. In a sense, there are thousands and millions of farmers of this kind, and this is one case related to food. There are cases related to tourism, to manufacturing, to other sectors. So by recognizing the good experience, the good cases that are related to innovative eco-inclusive enterprises, make them known, sharing their experience. We are looking for ways and means to see how we can replicate them, scale them up, let other people in the world to know that it is feasible, that we can effectively deliver sustainability in a country and in other countries.
So in a way, businesses like Jeff's are an example to this high-level political forum that's going on now and is a bit sort of theoretical, you might say. Here's a real-life example.
Absolutely, and that's what we call it. We are bringing here what I call on-the-ground experience, down-to-earth experience, and telling them, in your policy framework, you adopted this. This is how to do it. These people, go and listen to them. Go and see what they are doing. It's not like the big companies, because the big companies are few, so you can speak with them. The small ones are too numerous to speak with them, but you don't need to speak to all of them. Speak with few of them, and you will see how it works. And most of the time, they need just a very little support. They need a recognition. They need a little push, and they can do fantastic things.
Jeff, I mean, apart from recognition,
yes.
What else, in kind of concrete terms, do you think the UN and, you know, those who back these 17 SDGs, what else do they need to be doing to encourage the kind of good growth that companies like yours and these other small businesses represent?
We have very measurable outcomes. I'll give you an example. We established a one-acre farm at an HIV/AIDS hospice where we've managed to feed in excess of 150 people a day off just 1 acre, their vegetable requirements. So this is a significant amount of food. So if you extend this out on a 1 hectare farm, which is 2 and a bit hectares, 2.5 hectares, we're able to feed something like 350 people. So, and to set up these farms, you need something that equates to the annual minimum wage of a worker here in the United States. And we can
just one
person for a year. That wage can set up a farm that can feed 350 people a day sustainably. So we are using sustainable food systems that regenerate the soil, that contribute into water conservation, that empower the women particularly, but also bring the youth in. And we can then extend from that multiple small businesses. So in a country like South Africa, where we have 300,000 of these small-scale farmers, it is theoretically possible, and I must say theoretically, I do acknowledge that it is theoretical, but 300,000 small-scale farmers feeding 350 people off each hectare, we can feed over 100 million people. That is twice the population of South Africa.
And you hopeful that in terms of the continent overall, Africa, that this kind of sustainable business investment is a practical way forward? I mean, obviously, the problem is that so many countries in Africa clearly are still rather politically unstable, and there's an awful lot of work to do, isn't there?
It really is, but I believe that the secret is that we need to pay attention to the indigenous peoples of Africa. There is so much knowledge. These are people that know they just know they are of the earth. They still have that connect to Mother Earth, to the planet, and they know exactly what is wrong and what needs to be fixed. And just through natural indigenous practices, celebrating that indigenous knowledge, celebrating that innate capacity for them to develop community-appropriate businesses. So we're talking about short-link supply chains, where food, in my case, food and the value adds that come with food, such as fermenting foods and those sorts of things. And fermenting food is of itself a boost to health systems, because we know the impact that fermented foods have on our microbiota and those kinds of things. So these micro-enterprises that get developed that are community appropriate, hanging on to the seeds, hanging on to that culinary biodiversity, the genomes of both fauna and flora, the livestock as well. Many, many thousands of small-scale farmers can make a significant change.
In certain countries, the small and medium enterprises provide 70, 80 to 90% of the jobs. So if we don't discuss with them, if we don't see what are the solutions they can provide, how they can contribute, we are missing something extremely important. Most of the time, and you see, we're talking about inclusive green economy, we're talking about innovation, and we tend to think that innovation is something that is a subsidy for the big companies. No, innovation can be done by a small farmer in a remote corner in any place in the world. In the current set of the 15 winners for this year, we have two cases who are really working on recycling the banana leaves. Okay, they are thrown away. There are fibers in it. One of them, that I created a lot of jobs, they are making bags out of the fiber from there and have tourist activities, job creation, and so on. Another one that is much more interesting, that can be used in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, when you look at the banana production. A couple of women have seen that their daughters of 13 to 18 years old were not going to school a week per month because of the period. They could not afford to have the modern ones. They worked out through a genius process to develop sanitary pad for women out of the banana leaves. They created jobs, they recycled, and there was a special social impact. The girls went back to school.
A real virtuous circle.
So what better example do you want? And this is not a big company who will do it, because they are providing you synthetic pads and so on that the normal people, the poor people in the farm cannot afford. So they know what they need for, and they look for what they have around them, and they find a solution. This is one of, you can find hundreds of them, but we need to listen to them and then give them the small support. First of all, the recognition sometimes is how to access a bank. They don't know how to access a bank. How to access a bank to get a small credit, talking about 5,000, 10,000, when you can make a major global impact.